Craig mentioned, we'll be departing from 1 Thessalonians. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, some of my favorite verses in the Bible, except that number 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Give people a chance to turn there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. May the Lord bless us reading this holy word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we take this day to celebrate our fathers, Lord, we lift up your name, glorify you, our eternal Father. Just help us to be the fathers that you want us to be in every way, and to look for to Jesus Christ as our example. Now be with Pastor Craig as he delivers the message that you've laid on his heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, as we did for Mother's Day, we're doing again for Father's Day, departing from our normal study through, I guess we were in 1 Thessalonians back then, too. But we're going to spend our time this morning talking about dads. And just like God illustrates the significance of motherhood, even comparing himself to a mother who cares for her children, he also compares himself, very obviously, to a father, calling himself that almost 300 times in Scripture. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." In 1 John 3:1, it says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." Fatherhood is very significant in God's Word. In fact, of all of the nouns used in Scripture, did you hear that? Of all of the nouns used in Scripture, there are only 12 nouns used more than the word father. That's a lot. That's a lot. And not that we're keeping score, but moms, you didn't make the top 100. All right? No. Yeah, I actually ran that by Janine, and she said, "Don't do it." So, yeah, I should have listened to it.
Yeah,
that's right. If you remember, both mothers and fathers are very obviously significant in God's Word. God compares himself to both. But if you remember back on Mother's Day, I told you about the school teacher who gave her class of second graders the lesson on the magnet. Do you remember this? She told them all about the magnet and what it does. And the next day on a test, she gave these second graders this question. She said, "My name is six letters. The first one is M. I pick things up. What am I?" And about half the students wrote in mother. All right. Well, that tells you the significance of mothers. All right. Well, in a similar way, there was a small boy at a zoo with his father. And they were looking at the tigers, and his father was telling him about how ferocious and really dangerous tigers can be, especially when they're in the wild. And as he told his small boy that, the boy thought for a minute, and he asked, he said, Daddy, if the tigers got out and ate you up," and the father, kind of bracing himself to console his son, he said, "Yes, son." The boy continued, said, "Daddy, if they ate you up, which bus should I take home?" Oh. Well, like these children, I think oftentimes people naturally see the importance of mothers, but perhaps not so much with fathers. In fact, I read an article online just this week, because Father's Day was coming up, and it was written from a small girl's perspective, and it was titled something along the lines of, "What Do Dads Do?" And she was really asking the question, because from her standpoint, all she saw was her dad leaving in the morning, coming home late at night, reading the newspaper, and doing it over and over again. And someone had to explain to her that there is significance in what dad does, but it's not readily seen. Dads are often not appreciated. That might explain why about 80% of the children that are living in single-parent households have moms but no dads. And most of them are by choice. Fatherhood is oftentimes seen as less significant, less important, less necessary. I've quoted her before, but it was the feminist Gloria Steinem who said, she said, "Women need men like a fish needs a bicycle." That was her view of men. And I believe that this outlook is greatly due to the failings of fathers, especially in the last century. Men have not been doing what God created them to and doing what God has called them to do. But fatherhood is extremely important. It is extremely important. And that is why God fills and demonstrates that role to his children, calling himself one almost 300 times in Scripture. That is why almost the entire book of Proverbs models the godly and critical instruction of a father to his son. And so if you have or had a dad, and I'm not just talking about a biological father, I'm talking about a dad, someone, or maybe even someone that just filled that role for you. We might be looking to our Heavenly Father this morning as we go through this, all right? But if you have or had a dad, respect him. Respect him. Sadly, he is kind of a rarity in the world today. So respect him. And that really is our subject this morning. Respect your dad. And we're going to look at seven ways that we can respect our dad. And the very first one is honor his position. Honor his position. God has given to him the responsibility to care for his family. He has been delegated as the head of it, and it is his responsibility to not only love his wife and children, but to protect them, to provide for them, to nurture them, and lead them in God's word. To be the leader, really, and initiator of spiritual things in the home. That's what God has called him to do. That is a position that he has been placed in by God. Now, obviously, these responsibilities will be fulfilled in varying degrees depending upon a father's understanding of or even maturity in what God has called him to do. But it's not the success or failure that we honor. All right, it is the position. The position. That is why God can tell us with a blanket statement in the passage that Jeff just read, honor your father and mother. It is an unconditional command to be honoring of them simply because of the position that God has placed them in. Now, it has been quite some time since I have really liked a president here in the United States. However, It was my dad that taught me, honor the office. Honor the office. And so it is with dads. Whether our father was a good one or bad one, in our opinion, honor his position. That is a way that we can show him respect. Secondly, this morning, obey his instruction. Obey his instruction. One of the best ways to demonstrate respect for our dad is to do what he says. And this one holds very true with God, with our Father in heaven. One of the very best ways to demonstrate our respect is to do what he says. Now, I have seen great respect demonstrated even from really small children to their dads. I have seen small children start to misbehave, and all they had to do was catch dad's all-seeing eye, and immediately the child stopped misbehaving. Now, my guess is some very serious instruction, perhaps hours earlier. Maybe a belt was mentioned, I don't know. But my guess is some very serious instruction preceded that glance, and their obedience in that moment demonstrated their respect for dad. Proverbs 4:1 says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding." And from that, we can actually learn that obeying our father is really, it's not just about obedience, okay? There is most times some understanding that we can gain from that. One of my first plumbing projects involved the use of Teflon tape on some threaded fittings. Sorry, ladies, this is kind of a guy illustration. Maybe more. I'm not saying you ladies have never wrapped Teflon tape on threads. Maybe you have, but anyway, here we go, all right? My dad said, wrap the thread with the tape in the same direction that the thread spins on. I thought, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? Now, for those of you who have experience, does it make a difference? It can it? It can make a huge difference, the difference between water staying in the pipe or not. I ended up doing that project twice. And as I have taught the use of Teflon tape, I have shared, this is the way my dad taught me to do it, and this is why. All right? So obedience, obey his instruction. That is important in plumbing, but it's especially important when it comes to our spiritual well-being, our godly practices. Ephesians 6:4 tells us fathers have been called to bring up their children in the training and admonition of the Lord. So obey his instruction. Now, we talked about this on Mother's Day as well, but there is a disclaimer and an expiration date attached to what we find here, an expiration date when it comes to obedience. Note that Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." All right, obey them just as you would obey the Lord. And the disclaimer is, if one's father ever commands his children to do something that is contrary to the Lord's commands, obey the Lord, not your dad. Now, most times, dads would never do that, okay? Most times, dads will always have their children's best and godly interests at heart. Most dads love their children so much that they will only tell them what is right. So, obey them. But along with that, it also says, children, obey your parents. And this tells us that children must obey their parents. That is the right thing for them to do. But it also tells us that there will come a day when children become adults. And at that point in time, dads become a source of wisdom rather than the sovereign authority. Obedience is a way that we can respect our dad, but the third way to respect our dad is to seek his wisdom. Seek his wisdom, especially for those of us that we are older now, okay? We can still, most of us, go to our dads and seek his wisdom. Wisdom is the proper use of knowledge. That's the biblical definition of wisdom. It is the proper use of knowledge. And we can seek it from our dads. This one is not only a way of showing respect, but it is drenched in common sense. Why would we not seek the wisdom of someone who has been there and done that? I mentioned earlier that the book of Proverbs is put together as the instruction of a father to his son. In fact, some of the main themes of the book of Proverbs are wisdom, work, wickedness, and women. All right? And I remember vividly listening to my dad's counsel on all of these subjects. My dad taught me how to use knowledge rightly. He taught me how to work hard. He taught me right from wrong. And he taught me, if you ever figure women out, let me know. Janine told me not to use that one too. But there it is. It's out there now. I can't take it back. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge." The wisdom that we can gain from dad is the wisdom that we can pass on to our children. Just like John's illustration of making sure we take those steps so that our children can follow rightly. Choose them wisely. When we seek wisdom from our dad, it is not only drenched in common sense, but it is a way to show him respect. Dad, I really want to know your thoughts on this. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." Proverbs 13:10 says, "By pride comes nothing but strife, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel." Seek it from dad. The fourth way to respect your dad is accept his correction. Accept his correction. If I have shared this story once, I have shared it 1,000 times. But after disciplining my son, Andrew, okay, he was rather small at this time, I wanted him to understand why I was doing it. So I actually brought him to a passage of Scripture. It was Proverbs 12:1, which says, and I read it to him, I said, "Whoever loves correction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid." And I said, "Do you understand what that means? Do you understand that?" And he kind of looked down at the ground and shook his head. And he said, "Yeah, I'm stupid." That wasn't quite the moral of the story I had in mind, all right? But the truth is, correction is designed for spiritual understanding, well-being, and growth. Correction, when done right, is done in love, and it has the absolute best in mind for the one who is being corrected. And in receiving that kind of correction, we are demonstrate that we understand that. We understand that in receiving that kind of correction, we are actually showing our dads our God. respect. Proverbs 29:3 says, whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. The fifth way to respect our dad, number four was accept his correction. Number five is forget his sins. Forget his sins. There is perhaps not a greater way to disrespect a person than to remind them of their shortcomings and failures. And I'm talking about things that have already been dealt with. Okay? Obviously, unconfessed sin must be exposed and dealt with at some point. But one of the greatest ways to disrespect a person, one of the greatest ways to disrespect our dads, is to remind them of their shortcomings and failures. Things that have already been dealt with. Things that just don't matter anymore. That, by the way, is a tactic of the devil. Okay, not the forgetting the sins part, but the bringing them up again. In Revelation 12:10, it says that he constantly tries to remind God of our shortcomings, failures, things that have long since passed, things that have already been dealt with. At the end of the movie Titanic, not that that is a movie that I watched off. In fact, I've watched it once. I had to look up information to remember this illustration. But in that movie, Titanic, Rose, the main female character, now an elderly lady, throws a diamond necklace off the back of the ship into the depths of the ocean. And she did that really as a means of finally putting the past behind her. Many people have done things like that, okay? Taking things that they just don't want to remember anymore and casting them away. Casting them maybe even into the depths of the ocean. Well, in Micah 7:19, it says that God casts all our sins into the depths of the sea. So what right have we got to bring them up again? God, in esteeming believers, he says this in Hebrews 8:12. He says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. It's not that God can forget. He simply chooses not to remember those things anymore. He casts all our sins in the depths of the sea. He simply chooses never to bring them up again because they have already been dealt with by the blood of Christ. And if God can forgive and forget sins, we can and must forgive and forget the sins of our dad. It is a way that we can respect him. Number six, remember his efforts. Remember his efforts. Forget his sins, but remember his efforts. Do bring up those things that he did right. Do bring up those things that impacted your life for righteousness. Do bring up those lessons that he taught you and impacted the way you live your life. Remember his efforts. My dad taught me how to work. My dad taught me how to observe and think through issues and problems. My dad taught me that I am responsible for my actions. My dad taught me that I am responsible for my family, that I must set a good example, that I must be honest, that I must be the kind of man that I want my son to be and my daughter to marry. In the book of Hebrews, right after the author defines what faith in God is, he recalls exactly what it looks like through remembering the efforts of Israel's fathers. In spite of their many, many failures, Enoch was remembered for a godly life. Noah was remembered for blind faith. Abraham and Sarah were remembered for patient submission. Isaac was remembered for a promise believed. Jacob lived that promise. Joseph lived integrity and was used of God. Moses led God's people, and David acquired Israel's promised land and paved the way for their promised king. In fact, Father's Day began as a memorial held in 1908 for a large group of men, many of them fathers, who were killed in a mining accident in West Virginia. From that first memorial, the idea for a day for fathers was probably motivated by the day that was dedicated for mothers back in the first decade of the 20th century. It was through a woman called Sonora Smart Dodd, whose father raised 6 children by himself after the death of their mother. It was uncommon at that time, as many widowers placed their children in the care of others or were quickly married again. But her dad, he raised those kids. And Sonora was so inspired by his efforts, and really inspired by Anna Jarvis, who pushed for Mother's Day, that she decided to have a Father's Day celebration, the very first one that was held in June of 1910. However, an official day every year was not recognized for dads until 1972. But it started. It started as a day to respect dads, remembering their efforts. Remember their efforts. The last way we're going to look at to respect our dads is to complete his joy. Complete his joy. And that is for us to be the kind of person that would bring him joy. For the believing father, there is no greater joy than to hear his children walk in truth. In fact, 3 John 1:4 says that exactly. John there, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. By making our focus, the revering and respecting and magnifying and glorifying of Father God, we can actually bring our dads joy and demonstrate respect for him as well. In fact, as we have looked at several ways to demonstrate respect to our dads, great ways, the truth is, there is no greater way to respect our dad than to live a God-pleasing life. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, if you're still there, it says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then verse 2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The first half of verse 2 is a commandment from God. And in John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There is no greater way to respect our dad than to live a God-pleasing, obedient life. Proverbs 10:1 says, "A wise son makes a glad father." We should respect our dad by honoring his position, obeying his instruction, seeking his wisdom, accepting his correction, forgetting his sins, and remembering his efforts. But the best way to demonstrate respect is to complete his joy by revering Father God. The very best hunting trip that I have ever been on was a trip in which I did not have a license to hunt, nor was I carrying even a firearm. On the trip, I merely served as a guide of sorts. It was my son's first elk hunting trip. And on opening morning, he harvested a beautiful bull elk that fed our family for months. And I guess my point, though, is this. Of all of the big game animals that I have ever taken, of all of the hunts that I have ever been on, none of them compared to what I felt when my son took his first elk. As I serve the Lord, I am in awe of the joy that I receive personally in doing so. But I got to tell you, it does not even compare to the joy I receive as my kids honor God with their lives. You want to respect your dad? You want to show him honor? Do all the things that we've looked at. But most of all, revere God and live a life that pleases him. Psalm 29:2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in beauty of holiness." That will show your dad respect. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we are just so thankful to you this morning for being our dad. We thank you for that relationship that was so simply established between us and you through the shed blood of your son and our trusting in him. Lord, we thank you for the eternalness of that relationship. But Lord, most of all, well, not most of all, but in addition to that, Lord, we thank you for your guidance and love right now, that you are indeed our dad. And Lord, we revere you. We honor you for that this morning. We thank you as well, Lord, for the example that you have set for earthly fathers. And in that, Lord, I do pray that each of us, if we have a dad that is yet living, Lord, that we would take some time today and through maybe one or even all seven of these items that we've looked at, that we would demonstrate respect to him. Lord, thank you for dads that have served as those godly examples. And Lord, while not perfect, we thank you for their efforts this morning. Again, Lord, again, thank you for our time. Thank you for your word to us and this instruction that we have received this morning. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.